All right, welcome to another edition of Mike Checka, the show where I talk to dope people and have dope conversations about what they're doing and how they're affecting the community and how they're doing just dope ideas, dope topics. So this is going to be a good one. I'm appreciate this one's going to be pretty fly. I already know we've already talked, chopped it up a little bit before we got it going. This is Keisha Kendai of Woke Clothing Brand. Woke Clothing Brand. Look here, I'm gonna tell y'all off the flip the hats, and y'all know how I am with hats. I got all kind of different hats. Hold on. Let me lean over. Let me show her one here. I'm gonna show you one of my brims that I bought. It's pretty dope. Bam. So I bought brims and stuff like this, yeah. Different color. So I when I went to the IG and everything, I was like, oh, look at these hats. Look, they calling me. And they got, I mean, it's not just a hats. They got the hoodies, t-shirts, everything clothing line is Woke Clothing Brand. We're going to talk about how it came about, all those different aspects of the clothing line with Keisha. But Keisha, thank you for coming on Mike Checka.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really dig the clothes when I got to check out everything and Jasmine sent everything over to me. I was like, okay, all right. I want to see what they're talking about.
Yeah. Shout out to Jasmine.
Yeah. So
for the connection.
So we talked a little bit beforehand. Your last name, Kendai, comes from Sierra Leone, you were telling me.
Yep. It's actually Kendai.
Kendai.
Yep. People always used to sing the song. I'll tell you, you'll remember it for sure after this. They say, it's like Kendai.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Coming up. That was
the cameo joint, the cameo song. Okay.
I know you won't forget it now.
I got it now.
Okay. Yeah. So for sure, my father is from Freetown, which is located in Sierra Leone in West Africa. And that is where my name actually originated from. It is culturally attached to the Mende tribe over there. And so just living over there for about 3 years with my father surviving a war and my mother being from Mississippi but raised in the city of St. Louis, landed me here in St. Louis as a refugee, actually, just a survivor from the war. So I've been here since 97.
So and how did your mother get over there?
she, as a very young adult, married in to my dad in Columbus, Ohio, had children, had a family, and he always had a goal set to be able to provide for his family, but back home. So we were actually there to live, which is why I was there for 3 years, but the war broke out. I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Blood Diamond?
Yes, I have. I know okay. It's about Sierra Leone War. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So when that war kicked off, we got up out of there. Thank God for the U.S. troops. You know, we were the first to be able to board those helicopters. Helicopters then took us to cruise ship. We stayed on there for about 24, 36 hours, somewhere in that period. And that got us to land. And then we flew on over to the U.S. So.
So where did the boat take you to from there? Like when you landed to the
Brazil.
Boat?
Brazil.
To Brazil?
Yep.
Wow. So, wow.
Yep. South America.
This is a long cruise then. I'm thinking like, you know, we just hanging out on the boat waiting.
It was like a day and a half we were on the boat until we got to land where we could actually catch a plane. And from Brazil, we went to Washington. From Washington, we made it to St. Louis. So it was a pretty long travel to get back home. I think over a period of 3 to 4 days for sure, just fighting to get away and get back home.
So was it just you guys just dropped everything and just had to roll out?
Absolutely. You were only able to bring one bag in the midst of survival. And whatever you can fit in that one bag, that was life for you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Have you been back to Sierra Leone since?
No. No, I have not.
Wow.
No, okay. So 23 years we're talking now.
Wow. Yeah. And you have not been back.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Do you have family over there still? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming he.
My father still resides there. He stayed. My mother and my younger sister, we came back.
Oh, so when you all evacuated, your father didn't come with you?
Nope. He stayed.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you're able to get through because your mother was a U.S. citizen. Technically, you are a U.S. citizen because of your mother.
Yeah, and he's a U.S. citizen. I mean, he had his green card. He could have definitely came back on over. You know, he actually went to school in Columbus, Ohio. He went to Ohio State University and got his PhD. So, you know, he strategically, you know, became the lead of his family, basically. And the goal was to, again, stay there for a lifetime. But when the war came, it kind of altered a lot of plans and it split my family up. So, you know, him being a man, and I think his reason till today is that he didn't want to leave all of his investments behind. So he stayed for the sake of that and sent us over for the sake of life.
So have you seen your dad since then?
Through pictures, maybe about two or three pictures over 23 years.
So you have not seen your dad in 23 years. Have you talked to him?
Yes, I've talked to him.
Wow, the clothing line thing, this is great. That's cool. Hold on.
Yeah. You digging deep.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do. Oh, man. Hold on. All right. So how has that been for you with that transition from, like, because how were you when you all came here? You were three. You said you were over 3 years. So you were three or?
When I came back, I was 12. I was 12 years old.
Okay. So, oh, wow. So he's even crazy because you were already, if you were younger, I could see, like, okay, I kind of know him.
Yeah. No, I really remember. Yeah. I remember details. And so I'm happy where I am today. I am grateful for those experiences because they definitely help me be the woman that I am today. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of learning curves. And even as an adult on today, you know, I'm still looking back in those past moments, pulling pieces of understanding who I am, you know, and just trying to figure out who I am, you know. Of course, there's that negative stance, you know, when you have two parents and then you go down to one. But the positive is, you know, that I was raised by a very, very, very strong Black woman who was able to maneuver through that transition herself. You know, just being that woman that was able to have everything and have a man provide everything to raising two children by herself, you know. So I'm very grateful for those circumstances, and to be a survivor of those circumstances, it makes me appreciate a lot of more things in life today, you know. So
wow, this is awesome. Wow. Okay. I didn't know it was gonna go this route, but this is dope. So is your father, was he just like, I gotta stay home and help my people? Or was it like, I guess I'm looking at more of, was it more, did he feel more loyalty to the country than family, you feel? Or
A part of me as an adult feels that no matter what, I would have went with my family, you know.
Right.
That's the way that I would move if I were in his shoes. But I wasn't in his shoes at that time, you know. And as an adult trying to understand what was at stake, why did he stay? What was that valuable? I know he was pretty wealthy. We were literally born with silver spoons. We didn't need or want for nothing coming up.
Yeah, you said he had a PhD from Ohio State. That ain't no small thing to get.
Yeah, so, you know, with knowing that, but then when I think about family, you know, and think about, you know, war possibly dying, even him himself, you know, the country shut down for 5 years after that. And there was no communication. So for 5 years, I didn't even know if my dad was alive or dead.
Wow.
And so you saw the movie.
Yeah. You know what life was like
living there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, you got to think about, I mean, a lot of those civil wars in, you know, Western Africa, you know, were going down like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One of my homeboys from college, he's still over there in Liberia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was talking, and it was a crazy... talking to him, this man I haven't seen him in some years because he's been living in Liberia for maybe close to 10 years now.
Okay.
But I saw him a couple years ago. He came back and all of us from college caught up, and he was saying how it was even crazy. This is not even a tangent, but he was saying that there was a separation between those, because Liberia was made by former slaves, and people that don't know, but mm-hmm. the people that came from America end up oppressing the Black people that were in Africa. So that's why the civil war in Liberia happened, is because all the Black people that came from America start oppressing the indigenous Black people that were already in Liberia.
Already there, wow.
So it's like, it's a different term for if you are a descendant of a North American slave or indigenous. And like those mm-hmm. people oppress the people that aren't. And that's a whole line of people from their own.
Right.
And then that's the civil war that broke out, you know?
Right.
A lot of that colonization messed up a lot of Africa, man.
And he's staying through all of it?
Yeah, he's a teacher out there. like a principal of like a school.
Wow. Life's great out there though.
Yeah, no, he loves it, man. I mean,
yeah, life's great. You know, I mean, what we consider wealthy, you'll be rich over there so fast.
Yeah, no, I've seen the pictures of, he got the little gate at the community and with the guard at the gate. You only a principal, man. Like, hold on, how you got all the loaded guard? You
life's great. That's like, where the value is, though. That's why so many African Americans would love to have the experience to even witness what the value looks like. You know, how is the community different from, you know, the stigmas of our community, you know, because the stigmas on our community, and I'm talking Black folk here, mm-hmm. real quick, you know, mm-hmm. we don't get to have the same reach or the same opportunities. And one valuable thing about the motherland is we have that. You know, we have that access first, and then you got all the other races and cultures coming on, flying on in, trying to get bits and pieces of it. But the power and the land is already ours.
Yeah, it's tripped out because I'm watching this show on Netflix. It's a Nollywood show out of Nigeria called Before 30. It's like a comedy, but it's like a little corny, little comedy, you know, not Nollywood comedy. But the ill thing is, I was sitting there watching. I'm like, yo, this trip off of everybody in here is Black in that restaurant. Listening in the restaurant scene, you like, yo, that's bugged out. It's got to be like Atlanta on crack, you know, like.
Dang. Yeah,
you know, like this thing about it, everybody in there is Black. Everybody is Black.
Right.
from the owner of the restaurant all the way down to all the people that are being served, we're all Black people.
That's what's up.
You know, and it's just ill like
that's
that.
Something to be proud of. That's something to be proud of. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So so after when you got back, that was a hell of a journey though for you to go.
That's
through.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's dope. And you got here, you matriculate after that? Like, what happened to you after you guys came back here to
dive right into high school? My transcript was accepted. I went to Marquette High School.
Okay. Yeah, out of West County. So you literally were in high school there and had to jump right into high school here in the States. So you didn't have like a year or two of like middle school or something to like.
Well,
kinda
I was
adjust.
Skipped up. I was skipped up to begin with. I was advanced.
Oh, so they accepted your advanced.
Right. They accepted it and put me down a year. I was supposed to come and be in the 11th grade, but because I was 12, they had never seen such. So they worked with my mom and the report card and said, we'll settle at 10th grade for her for the sake of her.
So you were 12 years old in the 10th grade?
Yeah.
So you were Doogie Howser almost.
Yeah, they made fun of me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be. No, I'm just saying, you a 12-year-old.
No, literally, I'm saying for real. The same people who be riding right now today, like, yo, woke brand, you know, I'm like, I remember you on the back of the bus. I ain't forgot.
Hey, look. I ain't going to front. If it was a 12-year-old when I was in 10th grade, we was going to ride them.
Hell no. Yeah, it was like, you know, I couldn't go to homecomings. Like, who was going to ask me to go?
So you graduated high school at like 15.
Mm-hmm. He's cracking up. Yep. Yeah, 15.
Oh, wow.
16 months later. So it wasn't that bad.
So you graduated high school. You were 16. You were 16 the month after you graduated high school.
Yeah.
That's still hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh man. So anybody hang out with you then? Or like it was like, yo.
Shout out to my bestie. You know what I mean? She's been rocking with me since the age of 12. We got 23 years of friendship. And if anyone knows me, it would be her for sure.
But she
was
like a grown woman though. She was like 18.
She was 3 years older than me, and she had my back. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm just saying that was like a little sister thing then. She was like, she was actually baby.
She had my back. There wasn't no little sister.
Okay.
That wasn't a little sister. That was like,
you sure your mom didn't pay for it and like watch over you? Like, hey, here you go. You're going $100 a week and you just watch Keisha at school.
No, I was doing homework back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you the answer. Fuck.
Yeah. Like, go ahead and slide me that. It's B, right. B, C, A.
Multiple choice. Yeah. Oh, Olive.
So, wow. So did you end up going to college after that? Or like, did you?
You know what? I didn't go to college immediately because we ran into the roadblock.
You already have been rolled on.
I should have, you know, when I look back over life now, but we ran into some roadblocks, mom being a single parent and me working. So two incomes being considered, didn't get qualified for the financial aid. You know how it go. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to, once I didn't get qualified for the financial aid any longer, I had dropped out. And I wound up getting pregnant. I had my son at 19. And after that, maybe about...
How old, did he know how old you was for real? Because you was already like 4 or 5 years advanced than everybody else.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. He knew my real age.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, he might have been like, man, no, I'm sure I'm in class with her. She's 22.
No. But I didn't look much older back then, though. You know, I think I fitted the age group that I was hanging around.
You had to. That was your body adapting. That's called you know, in science where you adapt. You was like, yo, your daddy.
To your environment, right.
He's like, we gotta catch up.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna start puberty a little bit earlier. So you end up going, did you end up going to college here in St. Louis or where'd you end up going?
Yeah, I went to St. Louis Community College. I started off there.
Okay.
Forest Park. And then when I returned back to college, I got my degree from University of Phoenix.
Okay. Okay. So how long was that time in between? Because you said you had a son or a daughter?
I have a son and it was at least maybe like 6 years in between.
Okay.
Before I went back. Yeah. Because I graduated in 2009. Yeah. And I didn't start college right away. So it may have been about 5 or 6 years before I went back to college. Yeah.
So before you started Woke Branded, what did you do career-wise before starting the company?
My degree is in healthcare, and I've always worked in healthcare settings, anywhere from dietary to transportation to being an assistant to HR recruiter. I kind of worked my way up the ladder, the corporate ladder, as they say, you know, releasing medical records. My last and most recent position, which was 3 years ago, before I became a full-time entrepreneur, that was at Barnes Hospital, and I was releasing the dead bodies out the hospital. So it's always been in some form or shape, fashion.
So you was running, you was the front desk at the morgue, basically?
Pretty much, like any life that went away, I was the person that handled it with all parties in the equation, the family, the funeral home, the doctor signing the death certificates, you know. So just the organizer, basically.
Oh man, that's a morbid job right there.
Mm-hmm. When they took me down to that morgue to see that dead body for the first time, I was like, do I have to do this part?
Yeah, I can just feel the paperwork out and just like, that's the name.
I'm like, why do I have to see the body? They say you have to see the body so that you know how to answer certain questions about the body.
Good point.
Just show me some pictures, baby.
It was a baby
in a bag.
Yeah, that's that man. And how long did you do that for? Because that's got to be mentally constraining as well.
I only did that for 1 year.
Yeah, I was like, that's got to be mentally constraining. Like, to see death every day, like
every day when the phone rings is death.
Like, it's nothing. Like, there's not a day that death is not. My job is in death. Like, so
you appreciate life even more working that type of job. You know, you look around and be like, because you're picking up the phone on death all day long.
Yeah,
you know, a good day is 3-4. For Big Bones down on King's Highway. So that's a good day. A bad day is about 12-15 averaging. And that's throughout North Campus and South Campus.
12-15. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. A day. And that's just one hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to start the clothing line and go into full entrepreneurship and say, like, you know what? This is what I want to do.
Yeah. Actually, you know, back in 2016, I had started writing poetry. And I started putting my words on t-shirts. My best friend was getting married around the same time frame. And she asked me to make her some t-shirts for her wedding. And I made the t-shirts and I put them on Facebook and took off from there. People start asking, how could they order t-shirts? So
you're like, what do you mean? This is just a one-shot thing. You're like, this is a one-time thing.
Yeah, I wasn't selling them. I had just posted that I did my best friend's t-shirts. But at the same time, I was more so focused on getting the poetry out there. So I had been just going to any type of open mic, you know, just really wanting to be heard, really wanting to connect with people that didn't know me. I felt like I had burnt all my bridges with people who did, with my same sad sob stories of dealing with.
So hard were you? So what kind of poet were you? Were you like, as we go down the hill and run together, you are the shining light, all light and day. Immediately, you are the one, girl. Was that you was doing like that, or was you?
No, I actually started writing poetry from a place of pain.
Oh, so you were more like, I hate him. I hope a car run over him on the street. And if you see me, I hope you die. Craig. Oh,
no, I think you got to check out the album, the poetry album.
Plug the poetry album.
Shameless plug real quick.
Yeah, plug it.
Definitely need to check out the actual poetry album.
What is the name of this album?
It is My Poetry Be Complete Stories. Just hashtag My Poetry Be Complete Stories. And get a feel for some of the poetry. You know, it's really, really... they're true stories. So my poetry is surrounded around my real life experiences. Okay. In some capacity, you know, whether it be someone that I may be directly connected to, my own walk of life. But yeah, just trying to find a ground to basically be heard, you know. And I started just putting the same words on t-shirts, basically.
Okay, so that's where it came
from. I derived at the name Woke simply because I got to a place where I wanted to just figure out who Keisha really was, you know what I mean? Like, and just trying to figure out who my creator was and steer away from everything that I had been taught. And I literally wanted to go against the grain because I had so many questions. And I started attending these transcendental meditation classes and sessions with a yogini and really-
Break that down. I know what that is, but break that down for people that may not know.
Okay, well, it was a very peaceful space, and she held these sessions in her home. Anybody can join, honestly.
What is transcendental
meditation? When you take your form human being body into a level where you could completely connect with your creator, it's very peaceful in that state. You're literally transcending from life and being free, letting go of everything, including your thoughts. And so we try to hold on to thoughts and control thoughts, which obviously impacts our anxiety and all different types of things for us in life, you know, our mental health capacity. But when you transcend, you are totally being free. You are totally relaxing, you're letting go. And then you dive into meditation. And that's just where God is leading you to. No one else is leading you there, you know, but you have to clear all of the fogginess that's in front of you. You know, we wear so many hats throughout the day. I say that through one of my pieces, you know, it's very important to relax and take those hats off. And so just having that moment to just kind of unwind, you know. Truly, yeah, no,
I actually meditate every morning. That's why I wanted somebody else to go into that, because nobody else understood and knew that. But now I'm actually going to take my meditation to another level. I'm actually going to start doing Tai Chi next month, as well. So like, yeah, I'm going to really.
Are you going to do it by yourself?
No, I'm going to take a class in Tai Chi to get my basics down, and then I'll be able to do it on my own, you know, after that. So I'm going to do a couple of months, and then I'll be able to do it every morning.
Because when I first started, I didn't understand what the transcend really was. I would open my eyes up and she say, how did it feel? She asked the class and go around the room and ask the class, how did it feel? And I didn't know what to expect, how to explain it. You know, I was like, I saw some lights. I saw some lights, you know, and she was able to really guide me to that space and really get me to understand that my creator and everything that I was seeking was internal. It was right with me. Mm-hmm. I just needed to dig deep within to find it. And that is where I actually derived Woke from, because I felt like when I really, really got it.
You awakened.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So does that inspire all the designs and things like that around that?
It's a combination of the poetry and the awakening moments. You know, it's two put together, because number one, I never want to leave the piece out about being an artist first before entrepreneur. My brand represents that in a capacity of being loud. So when you see our designs, you notice eyeballs, you notice very loud colors, you notice bold statements, you notice a lot of curse words, you notice a lot of things that are geared towards those boxes that people try to put us in, you know, labeling us with race, age, name, you know. So getting away from all of that and then just being able to just learn and accept people for who they are. And that's our message through clothing, you know, and poetry. And now, more recently, sold out events. So the Woke brand is a 3-part component. And depending on where you meet me at, you may have met me in the poetry world, poetry community, and most people kind of love me in that lane. Or you may have met me through the clothing, those dope hats you saw on IG, and you come shop. Or you may have come to one of our sold out events and just had an amazing time like they did on Sunday.
So what has been the biggest thing you've learned so far from starting this clothing line when it came to like doing business or anything about yourself?
The biggest thing I would say I've learned from 4 years ago till now would be you definitely have to waste some money before you make it.
Okay, dive into that.
I think over each year has shown me that I took a loss some type of way. I've been paying attention, you know, the losses are different, you know, but that loss really is how I get to get my gain. Mm-hmm. So I'm paying attention to, you know, making bigger jumps, creating larger components of faith for myself, you know, to be able to get to the next level that I want to get to with my business.
Okay. So what is your favorite? So if someone was like, hey, I'm going to come check out World Clothing, what would be like, man, this is what you need to get first or check out first, and you're going to love this?
Oh, man, the fatigues. They everywhere.
Okay.
The fatigues are everywhere. Men are now coming in like, yo, Keish, what you got for the fellas? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because
honestly, I've been geared towards women and children for a very, very long time, and I'm opening up those realms of welcoming in the fellas to say, yo, I got some dope shit for y'all too, you know? So, I would definitely shoot to the fatigue, because when people see the Army fatigue, they immediately associate the Woke brand with it. They know it's a piece that people can freestyle and bring their creative flow to, and I make it happen. It's a piece that me and the client can combine our ideas together on and create dopeness, wherein they can see what they requested. And then I get to see, you know, my skill set bring what their goal was to life. So, you know, there's a lot of flexibility in the design on the Army fatigue as well, you know, because I am specializing in giving people that one of a kind custom piece.
So have you designed all this yourself, or do you have a team? Yes. Or? Oh, yeah. So you just learn how to design, or you just...
Yeah. Actually, no, I didn't learn it by myself. During that period in time before I got the job at Barnes, I was waiting on background checks and all that stuff. And I was doing the t-shirts, but I really didn't know how to do it. I was doing it on a Cricut. So that's like the little small machine you go buy.
Yeah.
Really home base, you know, learning. And I wanted to learn how to do it on a larger scale. So I walked into the flea market on 367. You from St. Louis?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I walked in the flea market on 367.
In Chambers.
Yep. And went around and introduced myself to the three people that was in there that was doing t-shirts. And it was two men and one woman. And the first guy said, oh, no, I don't need no help. And the second guy said, give me your information. I'll think about it. I'll call you. I said, okay. And the third person was Jeanette. And she's still there till today. Shout out to Jeanette for, man, just simply being open. Like, she was a complete, open, transparent person. She feared nothing. She was so grateful for my help. She was like, when can you start? And I was like, I can start tomorrow. She was like, okay, well, come on in. And I was like, yeah. And so I just asked her to teach me whatever it is that she knew for the next 3 weeks. And I would work for her at no charge, free of service, as long as she needed me to. So I did the first week. After that, she started handing me a couple dollars. She gave me $50 the first time. I was like, nah, I gave it back. She was like, no, Keisha, take this. You've been here a whole week. Da-da-da. I mean, we're making bread. I'm seeing them make bread in the flea market. Like,
that's crazy in the flea market. That's a whole...
You're not getting it. Like, don't underestimate the
flea market. That's something that's an untapped resource we forget about a lot of times. That flea
market. Man, I mean, people, they don't even have to really create a market to sell to. It's a mixed market. Like, you know, it's really smart to be in there, honestly. You know, But I never had goals set back then to work in the flea market. So 3 weeks came down to, you know, jobs, getting ready to start. And it's time to go. So I'm telling Jeanette Bye. She's like, no, don't take the job. Stay here. We'll get another booth. We can work together. You can collect the money and I'll work more design parts. She loves my sales strategy. She kept saying that. You could sell this so much better than me. And if you stayed here, we could be a team. And back then I was like, girl, I'm going to work. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm going to go get this guaranteed check. I'm not trusting this. So that's what I did. And I went to work and I was a contractor for the first year. And during that time span, I was able to really sit back and forecast my business. I was doing t-shirts on the side and working Barnes full time. And I was just stacking. Everything I made from the t-shirts, I put it up and I never spent it. And when it came down to negotiate my contract to become full-time and directly hired with BJC, well, I was going to have to take a $5 pay cut. And so I went to the bank account and I went to go review how much I had made myself hustling teams on a part-time level. And I was matching my pay then. I just didn't pay attention to it because
you just stacking it. You just stacking it.
And my mind wasn't thinking that it was a job. I was just hustling tees. It was play money. I just got to a point where I started putting it in a legit bank account because the brand started picking up. I noticed that people started recognizing the name. So I wanted to make sure it was registered legally and those things like that. And so, yeah, I decided to take the jump. I went in the meeting and I explained myself to my CEO and told her, you know, I'm going to go ahead and see what my business does. And I hope that I could come back if need be. And she said, you're more than welcome to come back. We would love to have you back at any time. You know, you just pick up the phone and call me directly. And I said, okay. And I've never had to make that phone call.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the first step? Like, what was the thing you were scared of the most? I guess, honestly, I guess living. I mean, it's mostly what I think of, like, but. But outside of like keeping yourself afloat, what was the thing you were most scared about in doing the endeavor?
I was scared about not being able to provide for myself after a year from that date that I made that mine.
Because you said you already had money stacked up for a year. You're like, I'm fine for a year.
I was good for at least a year, you know, for myself. I knew that I had the potential to sustain life a year. I worried about growing the business enough to keep it going. That was my worry. How is this going to grow? You know, how am I going to get this outside of it just being something that's going to be keeping me month to month? How can this now create a savings? You know, because I was only able to have that savings based on hustling and working a full-time job.
Right.
So my worry was how to double that up and make that become something for me, not only to live off of, but to also create a savings with as well.
So do you have other employees or anybody else that works for you now since you've been going?
Man, you gotta help me. Look, let me do a shameless plug real quick.
Go ahead. Plug everything you need to.
It's hiring, okay?
Okay.
You can go on the website, check out the website. The website is shopwokebrand.com. We have a career section and we have about 3 positions that we're actually hiring for right now. And so, yeah, this is my first time getting to this space of needing the help. I've been a one-woman shop for far too long. And I'm just looking for the right people to connect with for my team, you know, looking to share the responsibilities. We're looking for an office manager. We're looking for a seamstress full-time to definitely come on board and touch the garments. And so that way I can free up my hands. Literally, because I'm the only one touching the clothes. So, you know, if we can get some other people touching the clothes.
So you caught up in the weeds a little bit where you kind of sometimes where you're doing that day-to-day so much, you can't get the whole vision for the brand going because you're in too much in the weeds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, that standstill, that progression in itself could be very challenging to, you know, be able to strategically find a way to deal with that, you know. All while, you know, you're excited about the popularity, you're excited about the sales, you're excited about the growth, but at the end of the day, it's you still one person, so you can't do it all by yourself, you know, and then having the support come in, I mean, come on in and keep up with making, because everything that they're ordering, remember, it's custom.
Yeah.
It's custom. So it has to be made.
Have you looked into, like, I guess, outsourcing some of your stuff or to other?
I have looked into dropship. We implemented that onto the website actually just a couple weeks ago, but we really, really, really are focused. We were focused on the fashion show. So I'm going to take some time off. And during that time off, I am totally going to dive right back into it. You know what I mean? Like, get right back into it and totally, totally get that help that I need and definitely expand and taking some of the weight off my own shoulders. Again, freeing up my hands, which also frees up my mind.
So you guys just had a fashion show, especially during a pandemic, and you said it was real successful. Kind of break that down for everybody of how that went, what that was all about.
Yeah, you know, pandemic came along, Corona said coronavirus. And I am grateful, very, very grateful to be healthy during this time, still be able to live life, sustain life during this time. When it first kicked off, you know, I personally had 17 days where me or my fiance didn't make a dime. He's also an entrepreneur too. And so, you know, having that scare of what is life getting ready to be for us, you know, and then being able to find a way, you know, and I just had to get with the time. So again, as stated, the Woke brand is known for three things. We're known for our poetry. We're known for our eclectic custom clothing and our sold out events. Well, guess what? Can't nobody go nowhere. So there's no event. I'm not getting booked for poetry. So I had to figure out what was I going to do. So I came up with the concept of having virtual poetry open mic. So we did that for some time and just rounded up that poetry community, you know, and just so, finding.
Are you guys having new people come for this virtual poetry? Because I would like to enter.
Listen, it's all when we back out in the world now, but this is when we was on lockdown at this time. Yeah,
my poetry name is HR Paper Stacks.
Okay, HR. Why you go with HR?
H&R Block. You know, like H&R Block. I'm about that paper.
I can't deal with you, Lord. H&R Block Paper Stacks. He hollering. Listen, all I know is I had to get with the time.
Yeah.
Like, I was just doing on open mic. That was like my first little thing. They got me a little visibility and you know, got me landed me some gigs that I was surprised about, you know, but they were virtual gigs. So, you know, just go
still a gig.
It was a gig. So got the virtual gig. I got my first virtual gig and I wrote a piece called Quarantine. And which is really dope. That's not on the album, of course, because it's new.
Right.
After that, I had to get with the time. You know, Megan O actually picked up the phone from 104.1.
Yeah, shout out to Megan O. That's my people.
And said, yo, Keisha, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to figure this thing out, but nobody's shopping right now. You know, who's worried about buying something? And then my fiance's dad called me and he said the same thing. He was like, what are you doing? Where's your mask at? And I was like, mask.
Boom.
There we go. You know what I'm saying? So I got with the time and I started selling masks. And literally the first 2 days, I made $3,000 off masks.
That's dope.
No BS. Simply off of masks. Everybody needed a mask. And I was the only person doing fashionable masks.
Mm-hmm.
See, they had these little uglies. You know? This one they had.
Yeah. I hate wearing those.
This one just came on out couple months back, you know, but before this, I was the only thing smoking. You know, they could come in and tell me what they wanted on them. I was customizing the bag, so I got with the time. And then with the events, I decided instead of, because I, of course I want to sell out and make it worth my while, but because capacities came into play and, you know, we have to shut it down to either 50 or 25%, I changed my mindset on what type of events I was getting ready to put out. So instead of just regular events, I decided to make all of the events VIP only.
I like that. Okay.
VIP only with a high price point with quality work. And that will cover the cost of the event and leave me in profit zone. So I put on a fashion show back September the 13th. That was my very first VIP fashion show. Sold that one out. And then we just did this one, which was called Everything 100. Everything 100 was simply amazing. You definitely have to check out the page.
Yeah, you guys have video or anything up from it that people could check out? Or is that gonna...
Yeah, you gotta just go to the page, man.
Go to the website or the IG page.
I would say, you know what, IG is not uploaded just yet because the content is so heavy. A lot of our following is on Facebook.
Okay.
80% of our following is coming from there. A lot of our out-of-town reach comes from IG. So you could go on the WK Winston page and check out any type and all types of footage relative to the show. You can also look up the event itself. The event is Everything 100, or you can go to the Woke Brand page on Facebook.
Yeah, or you can just go to Woke Brand, officialwokebrand.com and click on any of those links and get to those pages.
Get straight to the source. Yes, absolutely. Our events page definitely has everything that we do on there. We also have an about page for those people who want to learn, you know, what woke really means for us. What's the breakdown? What are we doing with it? You know, the acronym itself stands for let's wake up, let's stay open and optimistic, let's keep connected with everyone everywhere. And so that's just saying, you know, we want to love on you. We want peace, unity. You know, we don't want to put you in a box. Forget what your age is, your race is, your weight, you know, what walk of life you've been down. None of that matters. You know, just learning you and embracing you as a human, because to me, that is a representation of God.
Mm. Wow. This is a hell of a story. So you said you had a son, right? So I'm not sure he's proud of you, right? Like, man, my mom.
Oh yeah. He had a proud moment at the show. He walked in the show this time, so that was dope. He you know, popped his hoodie real quick on the runway. I was like, check him out. He was dope. Yep, he's 17. He's gonna be graduating high school this year, Parkway West.
Okay. Yeah.
So he'll be coming out senior year quarantine. So
sucks for these kids, man.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. You was 12 years old. Your senior.
Don't do me. You know what I'm saying? Now that.
So this is similar to your high school senior year, right here.
Well, his restrictions. I just feel so bad for them because it's like they can't even live out those moments.
Yeah.
Really. You know, like I got to go to my prom. You know, I got to do that.
Oh, they let you go to prom at 12?
No, at 15.
I know.
Way too much. Listen, so for him, it's like, what is that? Like, they're probably not even going to have a prom.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, mate, I don't know. It's probably not going to be no prom.
You just don't know. It's one of those things where you just don't know. Meanwhile, I'm excited about the yearbook because that's like the only thing I could have tangible to be really excited about, you know, the yearbook, his last memories for senior year, him being captured in that book. So I'm definitely copping one.
So what is he trying to follow behind you with entrepreneurship, or?
You know what, honestly, I think my son is in a space where he's trying to figure out what it is he's interested in. So I always, of course, push him to do what he really wants to do, you know.
Yeah.
And I will support him every step of the way in whatever his choice is. But I want him to find what that really is, you know, find out what that is and not really waste a lot of time and energy into something that you're going to potentially change down the way. You know, if I could go back in time, I would not say I did not want the degree. I would say that I may have probably wanted the degree free. I wouldn't have wanted to go in debt for the degree because I have so much more that I have inside that I can ignite and use. But I really didn't sign up to be an entrepreneur. I think I just got here through, again, you know, just through my poetry and, you know, people loving the designs and quotes that I started putting on t-shirts. And then it turned into me just having faith in myself, you know. And so just truly believing that I can sustain, provide my income at the same time.
And all right, so the last part of this interview is going to be, this is a fun part. We're going to ask you a this or that question, so you have to choose between the two different things, all right?
Okay.
All right, first one is Martin or Fresh Prince?
Martin.
Okay. The next one, Coming to America or Harlem Nights?
Coming to America! What? That's my favorite movie!
Before I get to the next one, what do you think about this? How the sequel's gonna be?
Bark like a dog. A big dog.
On the low, the funniest part is Cleo McDowell on the low, because that's like everybody's dad for what he said. When I say he got his own money,
he got his own money. honor. He has everything on honor. The man. He's got his own money.
He's like, it makes your gold, your gold herder makes Daryl look like a
baby. Say the man has got his own. You hit the jackpot, Lisa.
I knew it. He was like, everything he dreamed of was on that statement. He everything he had raised her to be came out in that statement. He's like, you hit the jackpot. Like,
that is one of my favorite movies.
So like, so I hope in the sequel. I've always said in the sequel, I hope that Cleo McDowell got shut down. Like you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause he was stealing, you know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, Lokey was pimping his daughter out for real.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
what was going down?
You know, or Cleo retires, and like, you know, McDonald's is like got soaked up by the real McDonald's corporation. Like, right. they took over for real.
Right. Whole M, like a whole round W.
I've heard it's supposed to be pretty good. A lot of people I know that work out there said, like, they like, yo, it's pretty good.
Really?
This part two is going to be pretty good. I mean, it comes out in like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
On Amazon.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if it was going to come out in the theaters.
No. They got a big check for $180 million just to wow. go straight to Amazon.
Wow.
Which is smart because you got to think about it. When is the last comedy that's made a lot of money? Like that made like that much money. Like you got 180 right. up front. Go and take that check instead of trying to wait till the theaters open up.
Don't even worry about it. Right.
All right. Point. Next up, Nas or Jay-Z?
Jay-Z.
Why Jay-Z over Nas for you?
Because he married the baddest chick in the game. What you mean? Like,
hold on. So he's better than Nas just because he married Beyonce?
I'm a Beyonce lover, so I'm riding for that nigga.
Okay. But you choosing him just off the strength that he married Beyonce?
Yeah, he had some dope music. I remember one of his albums back in the day when Hurricane Katrina came out, mm-hmm. and he made that album about the people being on top of the buildings and the, you know, the water.
Yeah, it's called Beach Something. I know.
I can't remember the name of the song, but that I remember that really resonating with me back then. You know, if I were to call out something that I liked of his own, it would be that.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Next up. Different World or The Cosby Show?
The Cosby Show.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Cosby Show. Because it was very family oriented, and I grew up with my family, so we looked to watch it. You know what I'm saying? When we came home every week, like to watch The Cosby Show. The Different World was more like my sister's things, so I think they were much older than me. You know, 7 okay. year difference. You know, okay. that was their show. But I love Rudy Huxtable. Growing up, she used to get on Bill Cosby's knee, and he gone shake her
home. He sure did.
And then I get on my daddy knee, like, come on. You know, so I remember that kind of stuff.
So yeah, okay. I mean, a Cosby Show. Okay, Cosby Show, yep. A Different World. All right. Next up, I have. This is one's gonna be a pretty hard one. You gotta be ready for this. This is gonna be Michael Jackson or Prince.
Michael Jackson.
Stop oh wow, you didn't even think about it, huh?
I feel like you should just know this answer.
You know, some of these was a little bit closer for me personally. You know, like really? I pick Prince Jackson. Over Michael Jackson.
I grew up dancing to Michael Jackson in the kitchen. I remember going and getting my broomstick. Billie Jean.
No, it's real.
My cousin Earl literally would grab his nuts and I would do it too. Literally, like Michael Jackson is down. I grew up on Prince. Again, maybe my sisters did. Something like that. You know, they were much older than me, you know. But me, it's going to be Michael Jackson, hands down.
All right, this is the toughest one. Jodeci or Boyz II Men?
That's tough. Yeah. Dang. I don't know. I love both See? Of them. Now, that is the toughest one, honestly. I love all Jodeci songs. Boyz II Men, they had very good soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. They're two different sides of the coin.
I'm gonna have to say this is one of those questions where I'm gonna go with both.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, that would be a good what do they call it?
Versus.
Yeah.
I don't even know if who's gonna show up from Jodeci though. That's the problem.
Man, that's hard because Boyz II Men was dope too. I used to like the tall, skinny one.
Oh, that's Sean.
That's who my crush was. Yeah, that's it.
Sean. The funny thing is that Sean. Which one is the one that wore glasses? Sean Wanye.
He was shorter. He had the little
brown skin. Yeah, with the glasses. He's a big time entrepreneur. Like he's like big in real estate. I'm talking about like.
Wow.
He makes more money in real estate than Boyz II Men shows type stuff. Like he's big in real estate. Like I'm talking about owning apartment complexes type stuff.
Wow. Do you know what cities and states?
Like Florida, Pennsylvania, I think in Nevada or something like that. If it's let me look them up.
Bring that up, make me think about what Jeezy said on his verses.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about no suit. Florida. What you talking about?
I can't believe I can't remember the dude's name. Nathan. Yeah, Nathan Morris.
Oh, that's me. I just call him Boyz.
Yeah. If you Google his name in real estate, you can see everything that he's got popping on. So that dude's like hustling for real.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so last two questions left for this. So if you had one thing to take on a desert island, what would it be?
Who's on the desert island?
It's just you.
Just me?
Just you.
What?
Mm-hmm. Just you.
What would I take?
You got one thing. I mean, maybe you may be able to get other stuff, though, but I'm saying this one thing you have to have.
Food.
The practical
I gotta survive. I gotta eat. I'm sorry.
Most people pick music. They pick a TV, something like that. You like... No, go ahead, airdrop me food every day, and then we'd be good.
Yeah, I wanted to say food and drink because you can't survive without drinking stuff. But God, you said
right, top five favorite rappers of all time.
I'm not a big, huge fan of rap.
Okay, well then your top five R&B artists of all time. Then
all right, Beyonce would be number one.
I mean, obviously Jay-Z is better than Nas just because he married Beyonce. So I'm hoping he'd be number one, that she'd be number one.
You know, if I were to think of some rappers, I mean, Tupac would definitely be on the list. Biggie would be on the list. Bone Thugs and Harmony would be on the list.
Okay.
You know, No Limit then would be on the list. I got some people. I mean, we would take us back to my time though, but. It's talking currently. I can't keep up with these people. I don't even know what they're saying.
Oh no, I wasn't talking about nobody current. I was talking about period of all time. Okay. But let's go R&B. I like the R. Let's go R&B with it. Your top five R&B.
R&B. I love Jodeci. I love 112. What's his name? Not Carl Thomas.
Joe.
Donnell Jones.
Donnell Jones is the truth. He slept on.
A lot of people sleep on him, you know. Yeah. But his albums back in the day was dope. And I got a chance to see him in concert, and he just
that Where I Wanna Be album is one of the best R&B albums of all time.
Yes.
You know how many girls I broke up with Where I Wanna Be, like just putting it on. This is before, you know, back in the day, you just play a song, be like, man, just listen to this girl. And then you just look off in the distance. Just
you ain't right. Heard people feelings like this.
Then you got to turn around and make sure she ain't getting nothing to stab you or nothing. So you got to keep turning around to make sure that you ain't finna have no bodily harm. So you got to look away, but then check over your shoulder to make sure that you're going to be okay.
Yes. And another one of my favorite singers was Whitney Houston and Tamia.
Ooh, people really sleep on Tamia, though.
Yeah, Tamia is a good one, too. Yep. I remember buying her albums, going to Blockbuster Video.
Blockbuster Music, you mean?
Music, yeah. Yeah. But that was on the side back then. You would go into video on this side, music on the other side.
And that was one of the first places besides Street Side where you could actually listen to the albums at the little stations.
Yeah, you at the store. Yeah, get a little stick through. You see if you wanted to buy it.
Yeah, it's like a little librarian. You bring the album over there, they put it into the little thing. You sit there, I was like, oh, this is dope.
Yeah, our kids know nothing about that.
Oh no. You have a 17-year-old. I have a 7-year-old. So she don't.
Yeah.
All she know is tablet.
Yeah. And I'm sure she probably was typing on it at the age of two.
Maybe one.
That's what
like
they
I
do.
was just like, I don't even know how you, I didn't even know how to use none of this stuff when I was a kid. We used to play Oregon Trail on the Apple computers, and that was, and we just knew how to use the little arrow button. That was it.
Right. Tetris.
Yeah, Tetris, right. Oh, man, the Game
down,
Boy.
Turn it over.
Yep.
Pac-Man.
She'll look at that like, are you crazy?
Right, like that was fun. But that was fun.
It was hours of fun, too.
Yeah, and going outside was fun. Jumping rope was fun. High go seek was fun. High go giddy-o, I mean. High go
seek was fun. See, they can play high go giddy with you, though, because you're too young. Cats would get in trouble.
Okay.
Cats would get in trouble. They'd be like, man, hold on, man. Ain't she 12? We can't do... No. You just keep score. You just sit on the side and keep score. Well, Keisha, thank you for coming on Mike Checker. Once again, let everybody know everywhere they can hit you guys up at and check you out.
Man, you can check out The Woke Brand on IG at The Woke Brand. That is spelled with T-H-E. We are not using the D-A. You can also find us on Google at The Woke Brand, Facebook, The Woke Brand. You can hashtag The Woke Brand. You can hashtag Woke Brand by itself. You know.
So Woke Brand is on Twitter as well. The Woke Brand is on Twitter.
No, actually, we don't have a Twitter page.
You guys got to get a Twitter page. You guys got to get a Twitter page.
I got to find that social media rep that I'm hiring.
Somebody go to the about page and then file for the social media.
Go to the careers page and fill out the application. Oh God, send them through. I don't care what channel, but make sure they be right. Make sure they have an eclectic mind and make sure they pay attention to detail, God. I'm looking for a particular type of soul.
Yeah, no. I get it. Thank you for coming on. This has been an awesome interview, man. You're gonna see my name pop up this weekend when I buy one of them hats. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna cop one of them hats from you.
Yep, I'm on vacation for a couple of days, but I'm heading back into the showroom on Friday.
I don't expect nothing to be here before Christmas. I just want to support. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. I appreciate the support, and I can't wait to sit back, check out the interview.
Yeah. It's going to be good. You'll see it. It'll be set up good. So thank you once again, Keisha.
You're welcome. All right, have a good one. Peace and love.
Peace.